Good morning, church. I trust that I find you well and that you are staying safe. And I trust, like me, that you've been enjoying our virtual church on these Sundays. I've personally really enjoyed seeing other elements of church life on a Sunday that I wouldn't normally get to see, like the youth and searchlight and starlight, and seeing new faces who I wouldn't normally get to see involved. So that's really been a blessing to me and an encouragement. And I just want to thank as well the techie guys again for all that they do in pulling this together each Sunday. And it's been a blessing. And probably like you, I'm longing to get back together again. There is something about being physically together as one body. And so I am praying that that day will come soon when we can worship and fellowship and be together as one family. But until then, I am grateful for virtual church. Now, last week, Tim concluded our series, Resurrection, the Hope of Our Salvation. And if you've missed any of this series, I just want to encourage you to go to the members page section on the church website and have a listen. I hope you enjoyed the series, for those that have listened to it. I also pray, though, that through what Bob, Matt, Andy and Tim shared, that you've been reminded, motivated, stirred and challenged afresh in how the resurrection of Jesus changes everything in our lives. And what has been good is this series has laid a foundation to our new series, which I'm introducing today, which is called Let Hope Arise. Now, this series seeded in me whilst I continuously listen to a song which we all probably know called Hope's Anthem. When we tragically lost our son-in-law in March, I clung to Jesus. I clung to his word. I clung to what he said about me. I clung to what God said about me, how he saw me, what he is to me. And Hope's Anthem was a song that I played continually. The words just ministered to me. Jesus ministered to me, his word ministered to me, and this song ministered to me. He has come like the rain, the song goes, that shows on the barren plain, that showers on the barren plain. So my heart and tongue confess Jesus Christ, the hope of man. My hope is in you, God. I am steadfast. I will not be moved. I'm anchored, never shaken. All my hope is in you. You know, God is a good God. That has been my personal experience. That is my personal experience, as I'm sure it is for you also. And if we allow him every area of our lives, even those darkest times, even the most barrenest places, he will flood those times with his love, his grace and mercy. And as he did that for me, as he did flood his love, grace and mercy, Hope's Anthem moved from being a song that I clung to a truth that I could stand upon. It stirred in my heart an anthem that needs declaring over this world, that has led to a passion to see hope arise in this hopeless world. Our son-in-law was not alone in how he felt, how he thought, or on how he saw himself. This world is full of people whose lives are hopeless, who are broken, who feel orphaned, unloved. And with our current situation, it highlights even more those elements. Doctors are talking about COVID-19 affecting people's mental health for years to come. Surely then, this is the time when the church needs to rise up. This is when the church needs to awaken, to let hope arise. Jesus is the hope of the nations, a hope that will arise through you and through me. Now, hope is a word that is commonly used in our English language. It is commonly used in society. So I want to start this morning by being clear about the type of hope I'm talking about. So I want to ask you, what comes to mind, what comes to your thought when I say the word hope? What is your attitude towards the word hope? You know, if you ask someone in the street, typically the answer to explain hope is that it is a desire for some future thing which they're uncertain about attaining. As today, in our current circumstances, if I asked you, will you be able to go on holiday this year? There's going to be a certain amount of uncertainty in your reply. I don't know, Richard. Maybe. I hope so. At some stage, you'll be able to go on holiday. This is not the hope I'm talking about this morning. This is not the hope that you've been born again into. This is not Christian hope. Christian hope is not some wishy-washy wishful thinking. It's not a maybe. It is a certainty. It is a certainty in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. The Christian hope is hope in God, in Jesus Christ. It is the confident affirmation that God is faithful, that he will complete what he has begun. It is also, therefore, that confident expectation which waits patiently and ardently for God's purposes to be fulfilled. But the Christian hope is hope for a certainty. Christian hope is not a thought. It is not an idea. It is more than a word. It is a living person, and his name is Jesus Christ. Bible commentators often call Peter the apostle of hope. And in 1 Peter 1:3, Peter says this, excuse me, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Again, this hope that Peter's talking about is not the wishful thinking usually associated with hope used in society today. It isn't, "I hope it doesn't rain." It isn't, "I hope I pass the test." This is not the kind of hope that Peter has in mind. Peter links our new birth and our salvation with the idea of a living hope. The Greek term for hope in this verse means an eager, confident expectation. The hope of the believer is not only living, it is lively. Another translation phrases it as a hope that lives on. That is so, so not like the empty, dead hope of this world. No, the living hope that I'm talking about today is energizing. It is alive and it is active in the soul of the believer. It is fertile. It is fruitful. It is productive. It is a living hope that has power, that produces changes in life. We can live with great expectation in this living hope because our living hope originates from a living, resurrected Saviour. In 1 Peter, Peter is talking to the Christians who have been suffering persecution in Asia Minor. His words were to encourage them in their time of trouble, to remind them that their future was secure through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Their hope was in Jesus's victory over death and his resurrection life. So whenever persecuted believers would face in this world, nothing compares to the blessing of the future resurrection and the life to come in eternity. We need to hold on to that. Some of you need to hear that truth this morning. Living hope is anchored in the past. Jesus rose from the dead. Matthew 28:6. "He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where he lay." It continues in the present. Jesus is alive. Colossians 3:1, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And living hope endures throughout the future. Jesus promises eternal resurrection life. Romans 6:22. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. Living hope enables us to live without despair as we encounter suffering and trials in this present life. 2 Corinthians 4:16 to 18 affirms that. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone. But the things we cannot see will last forever. The focus of our living hope is described in 1 Peter 1:4 as an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. We have an inheritance that will never be touched by death, stained by evil, or faded with time. It is death-proof, sin-proof, and age-proof. This inheritance is fail-proof because God guards and preserves it in heaven for us. It is wholly secure. I pray that that stirs comfort, peace, settlement in your heart today. Absolutely nothing can undermine the certainty of your future inheritance. I pray that stirs worship in your heart. See, we cannot survive long without hope. Hope keeps us going through painful experiences and fears of what the future may hold. In a fallen world where people face poverty, disease, hunger, injustice, where they face disaster, war, and terrorism, this living hope of Jesus Christ is so desperately needed. Without Jesus, life is hopeless. Ephesians 2:12 says, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. We as believers of Jesus Christ are so blessed with real, sustainable hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. By the power of God's word and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, this living hope quickens our minds and our souls. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joint and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intention of the heart. Living hope changes our thoughts, our words, our actions. Once we were dead in our sins, now we live with the hope of our own resurrection through Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? The believer's living hope is solid and secure. Hebrews 6:19-20 says, we have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters the inner place beyond the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus Christ is my Saviour, is your Saviour. Jesus Christ is our salvation. He is our living hope. Okay, so how does this hope arise in our heart? Well, one part of the answer is given in verse 3 of 1 Peter 1. And the other part is given in verses 23 to 25 of 1 Peter 1. In verse 3 in 1 Peter 1, which we've already read, Peter has said, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. On the one hand, our hope arises through us being born again, through the resurrection of Jesus. But obviously there's a big gap between the resurrection of Jesus and when you and when I were born again some 2,000 years later. Well, verse 23 to 25 help fills this gap as Peter says, since you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding word of God, for all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower fails, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. So on the one hand, we have Jesus' resurrection, but on the other hand, connecting Jesus' resurrection and our new birth, some 2,000 years later, is the living word of God, the gospel. The gospel is the message preached in the power of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 15, 3-4 says, for I deliver to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. In verse 3, we see that we are born again through the resurrection of Jesus. But then in verse 23, we see that through the living and abiding word, through the gospel, the news of Jesus' death and resurrection, we were born again. These two processes work hand in hand. The resurrection of Jesus does not produce hope without our hearing it. Before it can produce hope in our heart, we have to hear the good news. But the other way around is true also. Words by themselves don't produce hope. There has to be some assurance that they are true. We have to have some evidence that Jesus really did rise from the dead. Tim talked last week about Pentecost. Imagine if the Pharisees and scribes had been able to produce the body of Jesus on Pentecost. Peter could have preached till he was blue in the face, but no one would have been born again to a living hope. That is why Paul, in defining the gospel at the beginning of 1 Corinthians 15, goes on to say that after Jesus' resurrection, he appeared to Cephas, who's Peter, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Christian hope arises in the heart through hearing the credible testimony of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. When you and I gave our lives to Jesus, we heard of the death of Jesus. We heard of the resurrection. We heard the gospel that was preached to us. And as we gave our lives, this living hope of Jesus Christ entered into us. I remember that day so well, and I'm sure you do. When Peter says we are born again to a living hope, he's saying when we cease to pin our hopes, our desires and longings on the things in this world and instead pin our hopes and desires on God, when we give our lives to him, then a new person has been born. When we sing, let hope arise then, we're not singing of a might be, we're singing of a living hope and his name is Jesus Christ, a hope, as I have said, this world so desperately needs. Peter goes on to say in 1 Peter 3:15, but in your heart honour Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defence, to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. You know, we need to be prepared more so than ever to make a defence when anyone asks us for the reason for the hope that is in you and it is in me. And yet that defence needs to come with a gentleness and respect. So when we get opportunity to share the gospel, when we get opportunity to defend the hope that is living in us, which I believe we will increasingly get, let us do it full of the Holy Spirit. Let us do it with gentleness and in respect. If we're doing it in our strength, people won't hear what we have to say. They want to hear our story, yes, but let it be through the living hope that lives in you. Let it be that they see Jesus in you. Let it be that they hear and see the love of Jesus spoken to them, because that love will come in gentleness and respect. We have all that we need to take the living hope into this world, because as a born again Christian, Christ lives in you and he lives in me. Living hope then resides in you and it resides in me. Galatians 2:20 tells us that we have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, Rick Warren says this about this verse. He says, to feel loved by God is the starting point of every ministry, every revival, every renewal, every great awakening. So church, let us be ready to give an answer to the hopelessness that this broken world lives in. Let us be ready to give an answer, to give a defence of the living hope that lives within us, that is Jesus Christ. He is the hope of the nations. In these next 6 weeks, we're going to be looking at different aspects of living hope. So can I encourage you that when you see the title of each week, that in your mind's eye, you put the name of Jesus over where it says hope. And in doing so, I pray that you will have a kingdom perspective regarding that aspect of living hope we're going to look at for that Sunday, for that week. My prayer is that every aspect of living hope from this series will shower your heart like rain, that it will cause it to fill up within your heart, that it will cause hope to rise up within you. But it will do more than that, that it will overflow, that it will pour out from you into this barren, hopeless world. Remember, the living hope that we're taking in into this world isn't an uncertainty. It isn't a maybe. It isn't wishy-washy. It is the living hope of Jesus Christ. It is energizing. It is alive. It is active in the soul of the believer. It is a fertile, fruitful, productive hope. And from hope's anthem, may Father awaken in you. May Father awaken the hope in you by calling forth your destiny. May he breathe life into your soul, and may you thirst for him and him alone. There really is only one song that I could finish with, and that's Hope's Anthem. I want to encourage you, would you spend some time just soaking in that song? Let Holy Spirit stir your heart. Let him prepare your heart. Let him open your heart for what is to come through this series. May he stir the truth again in your heart of what it means to have living hope reside in you. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.